Hello and welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio in New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. This is Season 2, Episode 32 of the podcast. And today is September 10th, 2024, which is the 50th anniversary of the Grateful Dead's scintillating performance in Alexandra Palace, London, England. 1974 was quite a year, and this is one of the distinctive shows and performances from that year. Joining me to discuss every song, every jam from that night is Mr. Doug Schmell. He's back on the podcast. I believe this is like his sixth appearance. It's definitely a monthly thing. So let's go right to that Zoom call, because I think we pretty much cover everything there is, so no need for me to banter on with an intro here. Let's go to that Zoom call with Doug. All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining us once again on the podcast, a true blue Jerry Garcia enthusiast, a man with impeccable musical taste, Mr. Doug Schmell. Doug, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Howie. It's great to be here. What's up, everybody?
Hey, awesome. Definitely awesome to be here. And this week we got a special show, the 50th anniversary, Alexandria Palace, London, England. It's the not really a heralded Europe tour, the 1974 tour, but wow, these Alexandria Palace shows are amazing. We're going to take a look at the middle show, September 10th. And this one's a gem. Doug, you want to give us a little overview of what we're about to discuss? What you heard listening to this again?
Yeah, Howie, I think I texted you, you know, there's really not too many words to describe this show. It's easily, in my estimation, the most underrated Grateful Dead concert ever. And it's easily the most underrated of 1974. And I could go on and say it's probably the most underrated concert they've ever done. It just doesn't seem to get the love, maybe because people don't have the entire show. But most of it was released on Dick's Picks number 7. So, you know, 20 odd years ago. So, you know, people know about this Dark Star Morning too, and the other unbelievable peaks of the show. It just blows my mind. It doesn't get the love that some of the other shows of this tour and this year get, you know?
Yeah maybe because it was combined with the other shows a little bit on the Dick's Pick 7. Plus, yeah. The Europe 72 tour probably overshadows everything, really. But
of course, right. Yeah. This is the second tour of Europe, if you will. They played 7 shows. They played the night before, which was the 9th, and that was a weird show. That was only a one-set show, I believe, because they started late or something. So it appears, you know, like a two-set show, but it's really just one set. They played a whole bunch of stuff, concluding with a nice jam of a Truck and Wharf Rat, and then Uncle John's and a Johnny Be Good. That was serves like at the end of a second set, but it was really a one-set show. And the next night is a great show. 9/11/74 is a wonderful show. And there's some other good shows from this tour, like Dijon, France gets a lot of love.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, a lot of people think that's the best show of this tour, but you and I know better. They'd be wrong. And we're about to tell you why. But, you know, amazingly, before this tour, there were no shows since the last show we discussed, which was Roosevelt Stadium. It took a brief little hiatus. And the last show, it's just amazing how hot these guys were. So I wanted to say, you know, I'm guilty of underrating 1974. As you know, I'm a 72 guy. It's my favorite year. 73 is my second favorite year. And 74 was right there with 73. And 77's up there. But I got to admit, following a lot of these shows now, because it's a 50-year anniversary, I am taking 74 and running with it. This show, this year is incredible. There are so many amazing shows. It's blowing my mind listening to them now in full. Part of, you know, to be on the show with you, and also for my own edification. Some of these shows I didn't know as well as I should, and they're blowing me away.
Yeah, some 74 elitists are probably sneering at us right now, and rightfully so, because I'm loving 74 more than ever since we've been talking about these shows, man.
Oh, absolutely.
When you look at the set list, the set lists don't even seem to do justice to how good the shows are. It's, you know.
Of course.
And before we get started on this show, I have one confession. I don't think I have ever listened to the show start to finish. It occurred to me, I've listened to the Dick's Pick 7. I assumed it's one of the greatest shows. The Morning Dew is on one of my all-time great playlists, so I hear The Morning Dew a lot. but I never before this podcast listened to it start to finish.
Wow. Yeah. I think I told you I listened to this probably 2.5 years ago or something. I was driving back from Bradenton, Florida. It was a good 3 hours. So I heard the whole show and it blew me away. But I forgot. You know, I know about the Not Fade Away. I knew about the Morning Dew. I forgot how great this Dark Star is. It's easily the best of the year. And it's my favorite, either one or two, of non-1972 or before. And 1972, to me, is the best year for Dark Stars, you know? And this could be the best one they ever did post-1972. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the best one from 74. And it took me by surprise, too. I've heard it before, but when I listened to this show three times in the last couple of days, I'm driving over the mountain. It just blew me away. But, hey, we'll get to the Dark Star. That's
absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to be all over that. Hey, why don't you lead us into this unique opening for the show?
Yeah. Round and around. I'll tell you. I love this song, Howie. It really takes you by surprise. You know, I knew about Around the Round because of 1977 versions, you know, and then later on when it became a cookie cutter, you know, like set ending to set two, it was never as good as it was. The best Around and Arounds are from 72 to 74. They're incredible. And this one is great. It's not as long as some of the other ones, but it's just phenomenal. Great jamming. Nice work by Keith. You know, on the organ, I'll tell you. Just got a different kind of sound, and it starts the show in the perfect way. Really can't ask for a better show opener, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And then you get the Mississippi half step in the second hole, and wow.
This is a beautiful half step. One of the best ever, you know, pre-hiatus. You know, obviously it really came into its own in 77, but out of the ones prior to 77, oh, my God, this is up there. It's just perfect. The singing. A little flub in the lyrics, but Jerry makes up for it. It's just great. It sounds perfect.
Yeah, the playing is so tasty. And the cool thing about the way they open this show, it's unlike any other show. Around the Round, half step to open. In the 72 to 74 period, sometimes it's a little predictable. It could be even boring. Promised Land, Sugar Ree. It's not the
correct. It's more predictable. I agree.
This was so exciting to listen to. Just starting off Around the Round, half step. And the show never lets up. It's got like that unique feel where everything is desirable.
I agree. You know, it's funny. This has got to be one of the top, you know, to me, three or five best Around and Arounds. But just for people out there may not know, check out 11-1972. I think that's the Hoff Hines Pavilion in Houston. Oh, my God. That's got an Around and Around in the second set. Yeah. Howie, I know you're a big proponent of that show with the Sugar Magnolia.
Going down the road.
Yeah. That Around and Around is truly unbelievable. This is up there, though. And then, you know, that half step, it's amazing in the two hole. It's incredible. It's like Derek Jeter hitting second, you know. The lineup of this show is truly unbelievable. Beat It On Down the Line is nice, you know. To me, the best versions are from 72 because they had two solo. Jerry would go two rounds with the solo. Yeah. This one usually has the ones from 73 and then 74 usually have one round by Jerry and then some piano by Keith. But it sounds great. And you could tell they're bopping. They're in a great mood. And the wall of sounds sounds incredible on this show.
Yeah. And Alexandria Palace just bringing it into that place. I didn't do the research on the place itself. Do you know offhand how many people were in there or anything about the Alexandria Palace?
You know, it's funny. I know about the Alexandria Palace because I have a horror movie in which a bunch of scenes were filmed inside Alexandria Palace. And it's this huge venue. It's got a huge outside. I really don't have any idea about the inside, but it's a huge place. It's incredible. That's probably why they call it, you know, Alexandria Palace. It's huge.
Yep. And they're able to get
incredible.
Able to get the wall and sound in there very palatial.
Yeah, of course. Isn't it amazing that they were traveling around with this? You know, obviously they did the hiatus, but 74, what a year because of that, you know, sound system. Truly unbelievable. You know,
that's a band really giving it all for their fans. And
of course, they're losing money. Yeah. They're losing money with the transportation, the gas, having to pay the roadies, the crew. It's crazy. But they were doing it because of the love of the music and for their audience. You know, they wanted to give the best concert possible. Speaking of best concert possible, they then go into a beautiful Peggio. Hey, Howie, I just want to preface this Peggio saying, I've never been the biggest Peggio fan. It's a great song. There's a lot, you know, from 79 and that time period. Yeah. And I usually don't like those. But just like Ship of Fools. I remember mentioning this in our last discussion, either on 6/16/74 Iowa or the show from Roosevelt Stadium. I've really gotten to like Ship of Fools when I listen to them more. Same thing with Peggio. I listened to the ones from 74. What a beautiful song. And This one might be the best one I've heard. It's beautiful. Jerry's voice, it's incredible. The heartfelt singing, a nice solo. It's a perfect Peggio. Perfect.
Yeah, I love the feel of this one. 77, there's some great Peggios. I did the
Correct.
English Town show like last week. That one's spectacular. But
Correct.
There's something very cool, like innocent about these 73, 74 Peggios. The first one they did was December 10th, 73. I think this is like the 7th of 74. So it's
exactly.
rare. Once again, with the kind of theme of the show, they're putting together a very unusual kind of cool show, unlike anything else. So this very distinctive show, the way they're playing, the way the songs are lined up. I love the Peggio.
Yeah. And, it's funny. A lot of set lists have Tennessee Jet, but they did not do a Tennessee Jet in this show. They did, though, do a Black-Throated Wind, and it's one of the best ones ever. It is phenomenal. Jerry's hitting those notes at the end. The singing's great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a great Black-Throated Wind, Howie.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until the second time I heard this show. I said, wait a minute, Jerry's cooking there. And even like, they're during the City of Blues part and all that. He's got these like little bubbling low notes going. And yeah, it's a sneaky Black-Throated Wind, but it's very hot, especially at the end.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love listening to Bobby singing with Jerry underneath. I call it like underneath, hitting those notes, those beautiful picking notes. And then he hits like a crescendo, and then he comes back for a little more. This is easily one of the best ones I've heard. And just to give you guys out there, you want to hear, to me, what the best Black-Throated Wind ever is from San Diego, 11/14/73.
Definitely.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
If you guys want a good Black-Throated Wind, this one is up there. I'll tell you, I'll put it in the top three, maybe, at worst, top five ever. But that one to me is the best, but this is right there.
San Diego, no doubt, man.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Grateful Dead channel. I didn't know that till about maybe 6 months ago. I heard the Black-Throated Wind. I was like,
oh yeah, you could
throw
stuff.
It just blew me away. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the type of thing. You get into an accident, you'll throw stuff in your car, maybe an ashtray. You know what I'm saying? Lose an ashtray. But what comes next, I'll tell you, is to me the most underrated aspect of the show is the China Cat, I Know You Rider. It doesn't get any love in the heady version when you look up on this song. I don't even believe if it was on Dick's Pick 7. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, because the writer had a cut where they had a splice in some audience. Yeah,
I think you're right. There's a cut in the writer. It's not a bad one, though. It's only probably 20 seconds, before the, I think one of the lyrics in the Northbound Train. But, oh, my God, this China Cat, Howie. I remember telling you about this, a couple of years ago after I heard it driving back from Bradenton, Florida, which is near Sarasota. I could not believe how hot this China Cat is. It's got everything you're looking for, from these 74 versions. Some great jamming. The lyrics are great. He's taking his time. It's got that great feeling groovy jam at the end. And then what a peak he hits before they go into Ryder. One of the best ones I've ever heard. It's phenomenal.
Definitely. Hey, let's take a listen. We're going to play a little portion right now. I like to call right before they go into feeling groovy, Jerry does like a little mating dance kind of thing. It's like a little unusual thing he does before the that I never heard before that they hit the feeling groovy. It's awesome, and then he's got the real quick hitting notes in the feeling groovy.
Oh,
so
phenomenal! Yeah,
let's check that out. Thank you. right. And hey, man, feeling groovy. Just when they did it in Dark Star and Dancing in the Streets, I think they did it in Dancing in the Streets. It sounded great, but it was like an added gem. The feeling Correct. Groovy in China Cat sounds like it's part of the China Cat Rider. It sounds like a natural part of it. So they did a great Correct. Job placing it, man.
Yeah. No, you're right. It evolved. You know, it's funny. You listen to like an unbelievable China Cat Rider from Vanita. Vanita, I listened to fairly recently because it was the, you know, a 52-year anniversary of Vanita recently on 827. So I listened to that, and that doesn't have a feeling groovy jam. It just naturally evolves. It's incredible how they added that. You're right. Yeah. And it became part of the song. You know, it's amazing. An extended China Cat from, you know, starting in, you know, early 72 to a 5.5 minute song, then maybe 6-7. To now a 9 minute song by 74, 9 minutes, and none of it is boring.
Yep, every single version is great. It's like, you know,
I agree.
No such thing
there
as a miss.
There are no bad China Cats. Yeah, starting in 73, it truly is amazing. This is one of the best ones I've heard. I'll put it in the top three. I really mean that. As good as Iowa is, and Iowa might be the best, this is up there. This is in that top three. I love that bridge. Before I Know You Rider, after the feeling groovy jam where Jerry just hits these peaking notes, turning it over into the I Know You Rider. It is phenomenal.
Yeah. Phenomenal. And Rider isn't long, but also even in the Rider, you get a hot jam at the end.
Oh, yeah. That second jam is I've heard it about three times in the last few days. I just love that song. I love the individual solos, those two solos. Yeah, this one cooks, Howard.
Yeah. And it was funny, you mentioned before, no Tennessee Jet, no Mexicali. There was also a misplaced Black Peter in one of these set lists. I don't know why there's so many mistakes on these set on this
particular. Correct.
Even in Dead Bass, when they recorrected it, they had a mistake in there. But so there's no Jed, no Mexicali.
And no Black Peter.
Yeah, and you don't need any of them because it's one of the greatest sets by itself.
Yeah. After the I Know You Rider, I believe is The Loser, correct? Am I right?
Correct.
And that Loser is phenomenal. It really is. That's one of the best Losers I've ever heard. You know, there's something to be said about these pre-77 Losers. You know, Loser really, the jam extended in 77, and Jerry's very hot. But these are more delicate and more definitive of what the song is about to me, you know. These 72 to 74 versions, outstanding. This one's great. What a beautiful jam.
Definitely, I hear that. No matter what the song is, whether it's Deal, you could make the jam longer, you could be into it, but you kind of lose the feel because you've done it as an artist. You played it a couple hundred times. It's hard to have that authentic feel, which these earlier Losers do.
That's a great point, Howie. I agree with that. The authenticity of these. You're a good point with the Deal, good point with the Loser. Beautiful songs, you know. All Jerry songs, you know, that Jerry really, you know, Hunter writes the lyrics. He incorporates the music. And what a combination on some of these songs. The Loser, to me, is such an underrated song. Obviously, it gets, you know, love, but it's such a great song. I'll never skip a Loser. No, it's amazing. No matter what kind of mood I'm in, it's a short jam. I don't need it. Never, never skip a Loser. It's such a great song. Yeah, this one is truly one of the best.
It's a slower song, but it really isn't. It's, you know, it commands attention.
Absolutely.
And then we go into the Big Weather Report suite.
Howie, I'll tell you, I could not believe this is easily the best Weather Report suite, you know, of the entire year. And it might be the best one ever because it contains, to me, one of the, if not the greatest, Let It Grow. Now, I know you listened to it, you know, recently in preparation for this interview. I knew, and I remember from Dick's Pick 7, how good this Let It Grow was. But repeated listens, just it never gets boring. There's some unbelievable notes by Jerry in the middle of that Let It Grow. I've never heard him do that before. You know, there's some outstanding versions, as we know, you know, from 77. You got DeKalb, Illinois, that from 1029, 77. You got the Colgate a few days later. Those are great Let It Grows.
Alpine Valley, 82.
You got 9773. Today's September 7th. So we're paying homage to 151 years ago, which you believe is one of the best, if not the best ever, from Nassau Coliseum. But I'll tell you, I like these Let It Grows from 73 and 74 better than the ones I just mentioned from DeKalb and from Colgate. They're purer. They're more innocent. Like you said, they're more authentic. The jamming and some of them are out astounding. Yeah. And this is one of them. The jamming in this blows my mind every time I listen to it, Howie. There's something, I don't know what Jerry was on, but it was good, whatever he was on. I mean, he's rocking and rolling. It's so creative. It's not just it's so good because of what he's playing. It's the creativity. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing next. He's just hitting these unbelievable notes while he's, you know, looking at Bobby and looking at Phil and saying, what am I got? What have I got here? And he had pure perfection to me. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I had always thought the Land Over 74 is the best. I still might put that as number one, but this is amazing. This one, I got to admit, I really didn't know until I started listening to this tape again.
It's
and
so good.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And the thing is, Jerry starts his barrage early, you know, much earlier
Correct.
Than usual. He's like,
Correct.
He's like at an overdrive 2 minutes into the jam. It's very
that,
hot.
That's what makes it so special to me. You know, you're right. Land Over is great. It was only what, a month and a half before, or a month of
July
change. It was from
29th,
July 29th. And that one has an unbelievable jam, outro jam.
Yeah.
This one, the jam is better in the middle after, you know,
I
after the
am,
lyrics before it's right. I am. It's incredible. So that one, you're right. That still might be better because of that nutty outro jam. But this one, I'll tell you, I could not believe Howie. I remembered it being hot because of Dick's Pick 7. But repeated listens, it just confirmed this might be the greatest Weather Report suite ever.
Yeah.
It's that good.
I got to keep going back to it because I just discovered it. So it's
yeah,
it's one I'm like, you know, hey, this show is going to be on my mind. In fact, I'm going to a tattoo parlor and I'm going to get the numerals 91074 tattooed on my head. So yeah.
It's the next time I interview, I'm going to say, hey, what's those? It looks like Roman numerals on your scalp, Howard. And it's funny, they're not even done yet. They go into this beautiful Stella Blue from the Weather Report suite. You figure they could end the set as they did a lot of times in 1974 by ending the first set or 73 with a Weather Report suite, but they go into Stella Blue, and the Stella Blue is gorgeous.
Yep.
It's perfect. What a way to end the first set. It's ridiculous. It's not the longest first set ever. It's probably just under 90 minutes. You know, I don't even think it's 90 minutes, you know, and back then 90 minutes was pretty much a standard for, you know, a first set, 73, 74. This one might be but it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That Stella is beautiful. It's very engaging, very unusual. I think probably the only time they ended the first set with Stella. I don't know if I'm
I
wrong
agree.
With that, but it's probably, you know.
It's perfect. Yeah. Just walking off the stage after Jerry sings those heartfelt lyrics in that beautiful jam at the end, you know, I could see him saying, yeah, we don't need to do anything more at this point, you know. Perfect. And then, of course, they do the Sea Stones, but I don't have the Sea Stones. You know, my recording is from the one that you had downloaded, you know, onto CD years ago. I have your copy and there's no Sea Stones. But, you know, to me, it doesn't matter. But, man, just overview of this first set. It's perfect. It really is. It's a perfect first set.
Yeah,
and Jerry's engaged.
It's hard to even look at the set list and even imagine how hot it is. You have to listen to it.
I agree. Right. You can't tell by just looking at the song list. It's so perfect to me.
Yeah.
Maybe
as
one of the best.
Everything's out of place. Like usually you get a play-in or a Casey Jones
Correct.
At the end of the set. It's so unusual. Weather Report into
Stella Blue, right, to end the first set. Correct. A Peggio, you know, in the fourth spot, an early Beat It On Down the Line. You know, it's
step
amazing.
Two,
right.
Half thing.
Step in the second hole. Yeah. China Rider comes kind of early. Usually they were a lot later on in a set or the beginning of set two, you know, by 74. But God, I'll tell you, what a great first set. I couldn't believe how hot it was when I listened to it again. So just like you, I've listened to the show numerous times since I started listening to it earlier this week. And it's just such easy listening. It really is.
It's something I'm going to keep listening to over the next few days for sure. I'm going to keep going back to it. It's
You won't be disappointed. And, you know, another out of place, even to start the second set. We're talking about, you know, mixing things up. They start the second set with Me and My Uncle. They did that before in 73, maybe once or twice.
UCLA,
a couple,
was it possibly? Or?
Yeah. I think UCLA, they start, is that the second set with it? Yeah, and it's great also. A lot of people think this is like one of the best Me and My Uncles ever, and it's got unbelievable, ferocious jam, and it's got great tempo. It's like fast, and I like it right out of the gate, you know? What are your thoughts on this Me and My Uncle, Howard?
It was nice. I didn't put it in the context of looking at the greatest of all time as far as the uncle, but it was enjoyable, man. I was in my car singing along with it. Same thing with the Dire Wolf that ensues.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Bobby has a nice, and now we continue with this. Welcome back to the second set, folks. Now we have a song of death and destruction. That's exactly what we have now. Next song of death and destruction, and then they go right into Dire Wolf. And the Dire Wolf's nice. You know, a lot of people, you think of Dire Wolf, it might be a throwaway song, but the beauty of Dire Wolf is the lyrics, it's Jerry Song singing, and there's two solos. Back in the day, before it became maybe a throwaway song, in 72, some in 73 and 74, there are two solos, two really nice solos. That's what I like about this song. And they're short, but I love it. You know, I love hearing Jerry on his own. You know, just noodling, hitting his notes.
Definitely enjoyed this version, but it's kind of cool the way it's almost like a pyramid they're building up, for what's to come. And but
it's amazing. And what's to come next, Howard? It's another song that's out of place, and it might be the greatest version ever.
Yeah,
I think it. I look, we know there's two unbelievable. Now we're talking to folks, of course, about Not Fade Away. There are two unbelievable Not Fadeaways that most people attribute and stay at the top from 1977. One is Cornell, obviously, which is a great one from 5877. The next one is from Englishtown, 9377. Those are kind of the benchmark for Not Fadeaways, and deservedly so. They're both incredible. They're long. You know, they're both, one of them's close to 70 minutes, and one's over 20 minutes. This one clocks in at about just under 16 minutes, but it's a standalone Not Fadeaway with no song or jam preceding it, and it doesn't go into anything, and it's just mind-boggling.
One of a kind, distinctive. While you're on the 77, there's also the Winterland, March 20th, and Albuquerque.
That one's a little different. That one's got this unbelievable.
I was thinking of how you put this one in context with those. Those are spectacular in their own way, but this is up to 74. You can't even argue. This is the best Not Fade Away.
Right. This is the best Not Fade Away ever up to this point. It's true that. So, and like I said, it's just under 16 minutes. It's amazing. Remember, I had mentioned this to you a few years back, and you were like, Dad, Doug, I don't think I remember this one, right?
Yeah, man.
And what did you?
I was just fixated on the morning. You turned me on to the morning dew. You said that's the best morning dew. And I really grabbed hold of that. Then I was going to Jamaica. I remember right before I went to Jamaica, you told me that how great this Not Fade Away was. And I was on
the
beach.
I remember that.
Just blown away by it. This right before, a couple months before COVID hit, man. I'll never forget just being on the beach, enjoying that Not Fade Away, Dark Star, Morning Dew from the Dick's Picks. This Not Fade Away is incredible. And really, you can't put it in the same thing as the 77 ones because it's jazzier. It's a different feel. It's almost like, you know, you got to separate it. This is the best from this period. 77 is more straightforward rock and roll kind of.
Correct. I got you. And I wasn't suggesting that it's better. It's just to me, the idea of a standalone version, third song of a second set, well, they have no business playing it at this point in the show. It's truly unbelievable. And the jam just takes off right away. It amazes me. It really does. There's some quick finger picking. There's just some lovely, you know, melodic where it gets a little slower and then it comes back into the kind of main theme of the jam. It's just incredible. I've listened to it, say, twice in the last couple of days in preparation for this interview. And I just couldn't believe it's just like The China Cat to me, and it's just like the Let It Grow. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get boring, even on repeated listenings. It's amazing how
Let's hear a little bit of that, man. They finish singing the second verse, and then Jerry steps in into overdrive again. So enjoy.
Right after, My Love Is Bigger Than a Cadillac. Oh, my God. Get a load of this, folks.
So it's about 10 minutes straight of jamming like that. Just incredible. Goes in different directions. I think like all these 74 shows have these massive jams, which great improvisational jams. And within this Not Fade Away was one of the great jams of this show, which, you know, it was in the Not Fade Away framework, but it was a total improvisation creation like they did at some of the other shows, like the post trucking jams and stuff. It was just a brilliance within Not Fade Away.
Howie, that is such a great point, and I agree with you. And that's why now I'm starting to really, you know, not like bang myself on the head of saying you're an idiot for really underrating 74, but I got to admit, I probably did underrate 74 a lot because 72 and 73 were my go-to years. And now 74, I'm finding so many of these shows, and it's the jams within these shows that really take them and separate them from the rest of the pack from other years. It's incredible. Every show in 74 has that magical jam moment, you know, be it 5/19/74 in Portland with that great trucking into the outro dram, which is incredible, or that unbelievable trucking and Nobody's Fault from Iowa. It's incredible. You think of any 74 show and there's a jam that's so different than any other show. It's incredible. Jazzy, you know, with great straightforward picking by Jerry. The singing's great. Obviously, you got the wall of sound, so it sounds perfect. But you're right. That's what separates 74. These incredible jams within each show. Amazing.
And before we move on with the show, since we're on the 74 topic, I just want to, for your monthly appearance next week, I think October 19th, 74 would be a pretty good show to do.
Oh, my God. The Winterland. That show, you know, this one, we discussed 6/16/74. Then, of course, Roosevelt Stadium, 8/6. To me, this might be now, in my estimation, 9/10/74 might be the best of the year. But its strongest competition might just be that Winterland show. Yeah. That 10/19/74 show is incredible. I haven't heard in a while, so to in preparation, I cannot wait to listen to it again. It is incredible. That's all I know. I'm so psyched to listen to
it. And here's part two of that. We're going to also, at the 50th anniversary of that, we're also going to do the 40th anniversary of Syracuse. We'll briefly, we won't spend as much time on that, but the great Jack Straw show, 10/20.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. Another great show. What about 10/19/73, Oklahoma City? Yeah, oh, my God. There are so many great shows
we'll come back. We'll come back to that one. The Fox Correct. Theater, 72.
Right. 10/19 has some. 10/19/72.
Yep.
Is that show from St. Louis, from the Fox? It's incredible.
And that's also incredible. That's also the Barcelona 81,
Correct,
which I love.
1981. So that, you know, that might
and
be
Keith's first show, 71/10/19.
Oh, and that's an underrated show, Howard, from Minneapolis. That show is great. I've listened to it recently. It's phenomenal.
No doubt.
But getting back to 74, I'll tell you, I'm on a 74 kick right now. I really am. And I got to give you credit for that, Howie, because you're making me listen to these shows in preparation for these interviews, and these shows are just phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm a taskmaster. So, hey, so you're going to, in addition to the 74, just check out the Syracuse show. You were there. I weren't there. But hey, as usual, time's kind of ticking down here. I think we got about 8 minutes left and we're going to need some time.
Yeah, we got enough time. We got a Ramble on Rose to discuss. It's a beauty, you know, short, but it's got that nice bouncy feel to it. I like those 74 Ramble on Roses. Not that many of them. That was a song for, you know, in 72 and 73, really, you know, where they played
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now in 74, it's a rare song, but it's beautiful. And then you got the Big River. And I'll tell you, I love Big Rivers from this time period.
Yeah.
As you guys know, I've mentioned this pretty much in every 74 show we've now discussed. It's incredible. This one also is great. May not be the best one ever or in top five, but it's great. You know, great jam by Jerry. The singing's great.
Nice romping, stomping, man. It's not as long as some of the others, but it's super hot, you know.
Yeah, nice linear. You know, I think you get four rounds in the jam, you know, at the end. It's beautiful. Some of these Big Rivers, to me, are the best ones I've ever done, these 74. And that sets the stage for what might be, you know, the greatest, I don't know, 43 minutes in Grateful Dead history. It's up there.
Greatest three-song segment ever. Definitely.
I'm telling you, this is up there. You know I love, you know, the Dark Star, Sugar Magnolia, Caution from April 8, 1972. Yeah. You know how much I love the Truckin' Other One Comes a Time, Sugar Magnolia from Frankfurt, Germany, 4/26/72. There are so many segments like that from 72 that I love. You got the one from Paris, 5/3/72, with the other one, the Bobby McGee. Oh, my God, Into the Warfare. To me, incredible. This, though, blew me away because I listened to it twice. The Dark Star, I forgot how good it was. The Morning Dew, I did know. But this Dark Star is incredible. I tell you folks out there, listen to this Dark Star. It's 31 minutes and change. They don't even get to the first verse until 22 and a half minutes. And those 22 and a half minutes, they go in all these different directions, but it's all jamming. There's no real dissonance or boring moments. It's all jamming. It's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. No spacey. It's all kind of focused. And I think Billy played a big part in that. He's like putting a charge into it, you know,
place.
It's one thing
amazing
about this show, that you can hear all the band members. You can hear Weir doing stuff and everyone, they're together, but they're all showing off. They're all,
they
chalk
that up to the wall of sound, you know, that you can hear that. But this one is just amazing. And then it sets the stage for what I consider. It's funny. I said it back then to you, Howie, it's the best Morning Dew ever. And then, not that I thought it wasn't, but there were other ones I've heard more recently that I thought might be as good. But you know what? I heard this twice now in the past couple of days, and this one is the best ever, in my estimation.
When you told
it's
me
the
I
most
listened,
underrated, too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
that. Oh, definitely. For some reason, it's definitely underrated.
On
when you
Petty
told me
version,
that, I, first time I listened to it, I knew it was the best. You know,
it's
I've never
incredible.
Backed off of that. It's incredible.
Right. There you go.
Hey,
there you go.
So just one thing about the Dark Star. So they do the verse. It's an incredible 22 minutes. One of the as good as it gets to the vocals. And there's like a almost Time Out of Mind thing, which is only 7 or 8 minutes, but it's very cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I came up with a name for it. I call it the Pickle Debutante Jam. Instead of, it's not Time Out of Mind.
I know
mind,
what you're talking about. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, then they do some Tiger type stuff that's really nice. And then at the end, it gets really complacent and soft at about the 30-minute mark, and there's still a good minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and they just wind their way down perfectly into the Morning Dew. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's like they're sprinkling pixie dust, and just when the dew comes, man, it's perfect, man. A beautiful.
Oh, my God. Speaking of this dew, the lyrics are great, Howie. There's no flubs. Hey, he changes one thing, and that first jam.
It's insane.
That middle solo might be the best middle solo ever in a Morning
Dew. I didn't even realize that till my last couple listens. The last jam, you knew about the outro jam, right?
But this middle jam, Howie, what'd you think?
Oh, it's freaking hot, man! Like that just was the cherry on top. This is the best Morning Dew ever.
There you go. The singing is beautiful. It's heartfelt, and then the main jam, the outro jam, I'll tell you, Howie, it gets me every time. There's some very soft,
oh my God,
mellow. Just Jerry just setting the mood. And it's not that long. It's short, but I love it. And then all of a sudden, this is where, you know, like Kramer would say from Seinfeld, let's get nuts, you know, something like that, where Jerry just gets silly.
Yeah.
He starts hitting those notes that we know and love from the Morning Dew, and then, you know, gets a little faster. And then I could hear it right now in my head. It's hard to describe, obviously, to you guys. But it is very unique. He's never done that before, and he's never done it after.
Yeah. Hey,
that
let's
sets up. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's listen to that Dew Jam, and then we'll get back to
trying
to.
You folks will see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Buckle up. Put away sharp objects. All that kind of
Make
stuff.
Make sure your health insurance is paid.
Thank you.
Wow, man, that just changes my body chemistry when I hear that.
It's the best, crazy. You know, Howie. So here, I listened to it twice recently. One was in the car, and I was hooting and hollering. I was lowered the window, shouting at people, like, "Listen to this, you morons! You're living your life, and you're not even. This isn't a part of it. What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Yeah, you're driving down the strip in Delray Beach or something, and the first thing from anyone's mind.
3-4 days ago, and then Thursday night, I took a walk around the neighborhood. It was 7 o'clock. It was getting dark. I set the perfect mood, Howie, for the dark store morning dew. And I am telling you, listening it with the headphones, as it was getting dark, walking back to my house, I had this like religious experience. I could not believe what I was listening to. It was better than I had ever heard it before. Because when you listen with headphones, there's no distractions. And you really do hear every instrument. And I was laughing. I'm like, is this possible?
Yeah.
that this guy, Jerry Garcia, could be that great of a guitarist, and that there are 17 versions on Heady version that are considered better than this. This is the 18th best version, according to Heady version.
And this was available on Dick's Picks Volume 7. It wasn't like
that's
it wasn't available.
That's my point. Why isn't people lauding this? Because it was released, so it was an official release. Yeah. People knew about it. It just amazes me.
Like you said earlier on, it's an underrated show, and like Cornell, which is the most popular show. That therefore, the Dew is going to get.
I get
all
it.
The
and
attention.
Cornell, don't get me wrong, is a great Dew, but to me, this blows Cornell.
Well, it does.
Away.
It's much better because Garcia completely goes off, and also Weir, man.
He's
strumming like Garcia, and Garcia's like,
agree.
Okay,
it's the best Jerry Bobby. You know, duel, if you will, or in sync that I've ever heard.
Because Weir's going off, and Jerry's like,
and
I
Phil's
hear you.
Hitting his bombs, but that crescendo that you know that I'm talking about is that we just heard is just beyond belief to me. It's the best.
It's like Weir plays the best thing he's ever played, and then Garcia has to just see it like, okay, this is really how you do it. It's like
it's true.
It's the most amazing conversation, and even the final swipe from Keith is an amazing.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Correct. I remember, when I heard it with the headphones the other night. I heard that. I was like, wow, this is one for the ages. You know what amazes me? Look, I can't disparage what other people say. You know, it's all a matter of taste and opinion. But there's a great morning dew, and a lot of people love it, from 10-1874. It comes out of a dog store.
Hey, Doug, thanks for joining us on the podcast again this week. As usual, the Zoom call ran out of time, about one song shy of us getting through the whole performance. One of these days we're going to get it down pat, man. We're going to get the entire show, and it's going to end right at that time the Zoom call is over. But hey, good stuff, man. The Alexandra Palace, you could talk about a show like this all day. So Doug's point, as the call ended, he was mentioning October 1874, Winterland, awesome morning dew. And the reason, one of the reasons why it's considered, obviously it stands on its own, it's a great morning dew, but one of the reasons it's up there in the rankings of people who voted on this is it's the morning dew from the Grateful Dead movie. Common denominator factor there. So any show that has, it's like that, like Europe 72, that morning dew from the Lyceum, but that one, wow, that one's one of the all-time greats, no doubt. But any of these performances where heavy circulation or officially released, they have a much better chance of faring well. Where the Alexandra Palace, nobody really had that morning dew until Dick's Picks Volume 7. And even there, it wasn't the entire show. So undoubtedly a great morning dew. I think me and Doug are on the same page. That's the best one ever, Alexandra Palace. And after they finish that, we got two songs left. We got the set ender and the encore. Now, they finish morning dew, and usually they will go into another song after dew, especially if it's Sugar Mag. Usually they hop right into it. But after that performance, they had to take a collective deep breath. Everybody's head had to stop spinning in the audience, in the band. That was just like a insane morning dew. So they took a minute, and then they broke into the Sugar Mag. And this Sugar Mag, pretty incredible. You know, I listened to it once because I wanted to hear it because it wasn't on the Dick's Picks Volume 7. I probably listened to it a couple times. But listening to it again, I was kind of blown away at how good it was. From 72 to 74, you got those crazy Sugar Mags where you know, that this is just like the peak period for Sugar Mag. So I don't think it landed in my top 10 as far as Sugar Mag, but definitely much better than average. Garcia and the band put a real charge into the Sugar Mag jam here. So what a great segment that is. Dark Star, Morning Dew, Sugar Mag, to go with everything that already took place that night. And the encore, U.S. Blues. And a tremendous version, definitely one of the best ones. And to play this in England, it's kind of like a State of the Union address for the English audience. I mean, crazy times in America, man. Richard Nixon, a month ago, had resigned from the presidency. The United States is retreating, getting out of Vietnam. So U.S. Blues definitely was a State of the Union kind of thing. What a great current kind of song. And the way Hunter wrote it, man, just such great lyric writing. You know, it rings true today. It wasn't strictly a 74 song. Really, it could really fit any period in the United States history. You know, that's kind of what Hunter and Dylan had like magic at doing, just writing these songs that are timeless, where they could address something, but yet just timeless. They would address future events that hadn't happened yet, which is pretty amazing. And really the basics and essential of great songwriting. So we got a great U.S. Blues to wrap up the show. And undoubtedly one of the shows of the year, and has to be the most underrated show of 1974. So that wraps up the Alexandra Palace, available on Dick's Picks Volume 7, but I would definitely recommend seeking out the whole show, listening it start to finish. Just an amazing night of music. And once again, I'm your host, Howard Weiner. We'll be back next week with another dose of Deadology. And to close out this show, instead of doing the usual outro theme I have for the show, the topic here, me and Doug were discussing great morning dews, and we were at one in Providence on April 26, 1984. He doesn't even remember this one as being as great as it is, but I think it's pretty close in jam-wise and intensity to the one from London. I had the lucky, man. I've seen a lot of great morning dews. I've seen that one from Madison Square Garden, September 18, 1987, the most exciting thing I ever saw. A better morning dew than the one from Providence on April 26, 1984, but just the jam from the Providence one, unbelievable. Better than Saratoga 83, which awesome morning dew. Saw a cool one at the Giants Stadium, July 10th, 1989. I've seen a bunch of good morning dews, man, but this Providence one, insane. I think you're really going to enjoy that, so that'll be the outro. But even like the Madison Square Garden, I would say it's a better overall performance. The problem with Providence is Jerry's voice just isn't there. He had a really rough night singing, and unusually weird, the model of consistency as far as vocals. He had a cold and a bad night singing that night too. And I may never get to review that April 26, 1984 show from Providence on the Deadology podcast. So I figured, hey, this is the perfect episode to do the Morning Dew Jam as the outro. So I think you're really going to dig this. April 26, 1984, the best Morning Dew Jam that I ever saw.